long time, hasn't he? But he was certain. He was a certain man. Now, there's two things he was certain of. One, he had an infirmity, and two, it had been 38 years. And then when the Lord asked him, what's the problem here? He became certain about some other things. He says, well, I got no one to put me in here when the angel comes by. So he was certain about what was wrong with him. He was certain how long it had been wrong. And he was certain there was nothing he could do about it. It could have been 138 years and this man would have still been there. Same is true of you and I. He had this infirmity. Well, why did he have this infirmity 38 years? The same reason you have. Remember, we learned this morning that a man will sustain his infirmity. He'll keep it in, he'll contain it, he'll hide it, he'll conceal it, he'll protect it, he'll guide it, he'll defend it, and he'll feed it. Makes it pretty comfortable in there. Why would they want to leave? You crazy? What if you all told me, listen, Rube, we got a deal for you. We bought this nice house over here, and you get to live there free. And every day we'll bring you not just groceries, we'll bring you a full-fledged meal, and we'll serve you there. If anybody talks against you, we'll defend you. We'll take care of you. We'll bring you money. We'll put gas in your van. You want to go somewhere? Go. It's all right. We'll take care of you. Then somebody would ask me, would you like to leave? I said, are you crazy? The way they take care of me here, there's no way. Well, see, you want to make your infirmity that comfortable and feed it, and then you say, Lord, take this away from me. The Lord says, why? So you have a weakness. It's an infirmity that you'll sustain and you'll feed. But understand what it meant also. It meant a man will contain his infirmity, which meant a man will be the equivalent of what's wrong with him. He'll be the same. He'll be identical to what's wrong with him. Now, how can you tell what's wrong with you? By what you feed that no good thing inside of you. In me that is in my flesh dwelleth no good thing that likes to eat no good things. So we're analyzing all the no good things that you put in your body so you can tell what no good thing you have in there. The first one, again, very quickly, so that in case you have forgotten, nicotine, a poisonous alkaloid found in tobacco leaves and used as an insecticide, used to kill insects. Insects, among other things, very unimportant and contemptible person. One who thinks they're low, worthless, beneath notice, who also has a disrespect for authority and disobedience. That's why you like the nicotine. You're an insect. You've been taught that you're an insect. You're unimportant. Whenever you see the letters un or un in front of something, here's what it means. It means the un means whatever follows, you lack. Unimportant, unknown, unreasonable. Whenever you see an un, the word following un means what you lack. So unimportant means you have a lack of importance. Un also means the opposite of. So when you're unimportant, you are the opposite of important. Un also means to be the reverse of. So you see, here's the situation. You've been taught that you lack, you're the opposite, and you're the reverse of important. In other words, not only are you not important, that's bad enough. You're the opposite of important. Now, if you could just say, well, you're not important to me, but to say you are the opposite of what important is means you're a step below unimportant. Now, what does important mean? What is so, why do you want to kill yourself? Why do you think you're an insect? Because you lack important. You're the opposite of important. You're the reverse of important. Well, what does important mean? Importance means something that means a great deal. You don't mean anything. Oh, but I love my children. Enough to take your eyes off the TV set and raise them to be decent human beings? Not that much. They mean a great deal to you. They just don't mean as much as a TV set. They mean a great deal to you. They just don't mean as much to you as what means more to you. So what do? You give them a fistful of candy and a remote control. And then later on, you wonder why their teeth are rotten and so is their brain. You're feeding everything poison. Take away the remote control and the candy, and you sit in front of them. Talk to that child. Train that child. Help them to understand they mean a great deal. But don't try to solve the problem or try to get out by saying, oh, they do mean a great deal. In relation to everything else? No. No, let me see what you spend most of your time on, and that's what means more to you. Stick them in the corner. I have no problem with that, but tell them why they're going there. And while they're there, keep reminding them while they're there, and don't let them out of there until they do the right thing. But if you just stick them in the corner and forget about them, then something else means more than they do, and they'll grow up thinking they're unimportant. Important also means having much value. You're worthless. You don't ever do anything right. I've told you 1,000 times. What's the matter with you, you brat? Are you stupid? Can't you think? I've told you 100 times. Does it sound familiar? That's programming. That's programming. And after a while, that child's going to say, you're going to say, are you stupid? Yes. Are you brat? I know. How many more times did I tell you? I don't know. You don't know anything? No, you're right. I don't. Well, that child grows up unimportant. So you see, they really have a contempt for themselves, don't they? That's why they have a contempt for everyone else. But understand something. These people, these insects, these unimportant, contemptible people, have a fondness for any substance. Insecticide means any substance that kills an insect. We're going to find out that alcohol kills insects. So does caffeine. So does sugar, and fat, and spices, drugs. Lots of things kill insects. See, insecticide means any substance that kills insects. So when your doctor tells you that's killing you, that's an insecticide. So see, food and alcohol and nicotine, caffeine, drugs, all of those kill insects. They're all derivatives. They're all poisonous alkaloids. Well, we've belabored nicotine a little bit. I'll give you a little break. See, all of you that do this, you also walk around with your rain barrel full of coffee, don't you? So we'll give you a double whammy here. What if you have an unreasonable fondness? See, you have an unreasonable fondness for nicotine because you have a low self-esteem, a low opinion of yourself, given to you by your parents. Well, what if you have a caffeine hang-up? Well, caffeine is a bitter crystalline alkaloid present in coffee, tea, and kola nuts. It is a stimulant to the heart and central nervous system. So you see, people that are hung up on caffeine need a stimulant. And stimulant means any drug that temporarily increases the activity of some vital process or of some organ. So why do you need a stimulant? Well, there's some vital process in your body that's slowed down. So your body says, something's wrong here. We need something. It starts craving something to slow up that process that you slowed down. You have a lazy pancreas. You have a lazy liver. Everything you have is lazy. That's why it needs a stimulant. Understand, only lazy people crave stimulants. Well, what's lazy? Slack, tired, slow, and sluggish, and slothful. Oh, I wish I had a a camera, you know, a TV camera, one of the kind they have in the grocery stores, that it would click on the minute your alarm goes off on Monday morning. Oh, what I wouldn't give for that. I would like to see who bounces out and says, thank you, Lord, for God, what a great day. Let's go get them, Lord. And who gets, oh, man, am I tired. You just had a whole weekend. You ain't done a lick for 2 days. You done nothing but sleep and eat. You just got through with 8 hours, and you woke up tired? Well, you don't understand. I just opened my eyes. What a tremendous amount of energy that must have required. You're not tired. You're slow, sluggish, and lazy. You know, lazy comes from the word late. Late means to neglect something and let it go. It means to be tardy, as in retardy. Late means to be behind the usual, proper, or expected time. These people never get anywhere on time. Never, anywhere. Now, what is that no good thing in them? Lazy, slack, tired, heavy. So what do they want to feed that no good thing? A no good thing. Now, it's true it has a stimulant, but it also has a depressant. So see, coffee tells you you're lazy. But not only coffee, it's caffeine. Tea and cola nuts. Chocola nuts. Your Hershey's Kisses and all your Mars bars and all that. Hey, you know what's wrong with you? You're lazy. Now, do you think you're ever going to stop your desire for that as long as you're lazy? No, that no good thing wants a no good thing just like it. They have to be equivalents. You understand what I'm trying to tell you here? You cannot stop your body from craving what's wrong with it. You can't. One thing you can do is stop feeding it. Now, how do you do that? Stop feeding here. Oh, I'm so tired. You've just fed your brain a cola nut. And your body says, we just got, oh, man, what a nice, what? We're tired. I didn't know we were tired, but the boss said we're tired. So now you're tired. You can program your body however you want. Studies have been made. Runners are running the marathon, and they're up to 20 miles, and they're the wall. And they're already programmed. They say, oh, yes, I've got every cramp, and they come to the wall. However, the other times, people, they've come to the 20 miles, and they said, it's only 15. Somebody says, this is only 15 miles. Man, I can go yet before I hit the wall. By the time they hit the wall, the race is almost over. Programming. See, the problem is you need a stimulant because you're lazy and you're late. But why do you need a bitter stimulant? It's a bitter crystalline alkaloid. Because you're bitter. You got a bitter spirit in you. And that's all for you, all you that like all that chocolate business. Bitter means a strong feeling of hatred or resentment. And it begins with your parents first. Then you have a strong feeling of hatred and resentment for yourself. And then it's anybody that's around you. You're bitter. Now, how can you harbor that bitter spirit and not crave bitter things to give that bitter spirit? If you want to be healthy, we got to start up here because that's how you got sick. Well, but I don't hate anybody. Oh, yes, you do. Because bitter also means to show sorrow, discomfort, or pain. Oh, you don't understand. I got this. No, I understand what's wrong with you. That discomfort, that pain, that sorrow that you have, by definition, is bitter. That's bitterness. Well, bitterness means you have a strong feeling of hatred and resentment for someone. Well, who could I possibly hate? Now, listen carefully now. I'm going to give you such a revelation and show you the absolute infinity of my knowledge and wisdom. You have the pain. You have the discomfort. You have the sorrow. And I say, who do you hate? Who do you resent? I don't know. I say again, who has the pain? I do. Who has the sorrow? I do. Who has the resentment? I do. Who has the hatred? I do. Who do you hate? I don't know. God. I could understand you being out to lunch. I'll come back later. But man, when you go, it's a camping trip. Some of you have been gone a long time here. If you have the sorrow, if you have the discomfort, if you have the pain, you have a feeling of hatred and resentment. You're a low, worthless, unimportant person, aren't you? You see how this always manifests, so that you come back and you're the insect and you do things to try to kill yourself by giving yourself sorrow, discomfort, and pain? Well, Brother Reuben, how could caffeine give you sorrow, discomfort, and pain? Don't you know what it does to your system? But see, the problem is, well, why did you get hooked on? Because you're lazy. Well, how'd that happen? Back to square one. Get up, my sweet little darling. Would you like to get up now, sweetheart? Oh, Mom, I'm tired. All right, dear. You're programming a lazy little slob there. Get up, or else. We never get to our ass in my house. Why? Oh, you're so mean. I will not raise willingly and knowingly a slothful, lazy individual who's then going to be hooked on every stimulant that comes into their life and hold myself not responsible for it. Are you crazy? There's no way. You see, all your life, someone's been making provisions for you. And you don't have to do what you don't want to do until you're good and ready to do it. You lazy thing. Who helped you to be lazy? Your parents. Well, now that you have this good lazy spirit in you, now your whole system is always late. You don't go to the potty on time. You always need some kind of stimulant. Look, isn't it a sad state of affairs? The way you eat and as much as you eat, you would think pressure would throw it out, if nothing else. Everything's lazy in you. And listen, let me tell you something. What's one of the first things the doctors will do? He say, you got a problem. You need a bowel movement. You got lazy bowels. Now, do you laugh when the doctor says, you need a stimulant there or something wrong? Slight little bit of congestion there. And what do? To help you? They give you a drug. We'll get to that in a minute. But you see, the problem is you're slowing down your system. You're lazy. Now you have an immunity system who's programmed. It's a fighting machine. And it's programmed to recognize everything that's alien to your system. And the minute a virus or a bacteria, anything, comes to any opening in your body and comes in through the mucous membranes or to wherever, there's an alarm goes off in your body. And man, that immunity system's on the job and it sends out all the antibodies and kills that stuff right on the spot. Except yours, when the alarm goes out, is give me another 5 minutes. Well, by that time, bacteria's in and set up housekeeping. See, your immunity system works like you do. The alarm goes off. You say, ah, Mom, give me, you know how it is, Mom. Disease and bacteria and virus is attacking. And your immunity system wants a snooze alarm. Wants another 5 minutes. I don't want to get up yet. I don't want to do that yet. Then you get sick. See, your immunity system is as lazy as you are. Now, you can have a lazy immunity system or you can have a stupid one. Now, see, immunity system is programmed by God, and he says, all of these things are wrong, kill them. And all of these things are right, protect them from that. Kill that, don't do this. That's bad, this is good. Now people come along and say, homosexuality is all right. Drugs are all right. Everything's all right. It doesn't matter. What's bad is people that judges. Christians who want to tell you, they're the bad ones. We're the ones that are all right. So what have they done? They've made good evil and evil good. Now the immunity system, and this is AIDS, they don't know that yet, but I'm telling you what it is. The immunity system now has acquired immune deficiency syndrome. Acquired. Now what does that mean? Now the immunity system sees all these viruses coming in, says, hey, they're good things, let them in. And people with AIDS die of everything. Pneumonia, cold, runny nose, snots. They die of everything. Why? Because their immunity system can no longer tell the difference between what's right and wrong. Well, how did their immunity system get so stupid? Because the person can no longer tell what's right and wrong. They won't be preached to. They won't be told. They won't have a distinction between right and wrong. So the immunity system now thinks that everything that's wrong is good, so guess what it attacks? Everything that's right. And they're dying by the hundreds and thousands. They're spending millions and billions of dollars trying to figure out, and Rube could tell them, if they just spend $2 for a long-distance phone call. In fact, I'd collect, call me. Please, tell them. Call me, collect. I'll tell you what you're doing. I'll tell you why poor people are dying of AIDS. They don't even understand why. Flipped your immunity system backwards. You're bitter, you're late, you're neglectful, you need a stimulant. You're calling evil good and good evil. And it all started from something as seemingly insignificant as an unreasoning affection for caffeine, for a stimulant. A bitter one at that. But we're not through. If you want to get rid of the cravings for that, then get up out of bed. Get to work. Do your job. Don't sluggish. Don't take forever. You retard. It gives you a desire for a bitter stimulant. Well, some people don't believe that. So they graduate to the next stimulant / depressant, alcohol, which is nothing more than a man's caffeine. A stupid man's caffeine, but nevertheless, a man's caffeine. Now, let me tell you why you like alcohol. Alcohol, by definition, this is an unreasonable fondness. And alcohol falls in the category of anything that makes you act cuckoo. Alcohol is a volatile liquid that can be burned as a fuel, used in industry and medicine. It's also, by definition, a poisonous liquid. Look at the unreasoning affection. Alcohol is to be burned in a motor. It's fuel. You drink it? For what? Well, you want to be burned up, evidently, or burned out. But it's volatile. It's a volatile liquid. Why would you want something that's obviously poison, obviously no good for you, but you still have a desire? Well, it's volatile. Now, if you want something volatile, it's because you got something volatile inside. That no good thing inside of you is volatile because you want some no good thing on the outside to feed that no good thing, but they have to be equivalent. Remember that. Now, volatile means, now listen, you volatile people, something that is likely to shift quickly and unpredictably. Short-tempered, short-fused, people that say one thing, do something else. I changed my mind. Yes, I'll do it. No, I won't. I don't know. Maybe I will. Can't make a decision. They shift quickly and unpredictably. Volatile also means unstable and explosive. These are the people that they hear something they don't like and they'll blow up quickly. Very unstable. They're like nitroglycerin. You shake them up a little bit, they'll go up and smoke. They're volatile, unstable, and explosive. What else does unstable or volatile mean? Something that doesn't last long. Like your marriages, your promises, your New Year's resolutions, your new ideas. It doesn't last long, does it? Oh, I'm not going to do that anymore. And then you do that again. You're volatile. Volatile also means moving capriciously from one idea or interest to another. Never finish anything. You start a new job, you lose interest. Start a new marriage, you lose interest. Start a new anything, you lose interest. Man, you are a candidate for alcohol. You're a candidate for drunkenness, because that's what alcohol is for. Whether you take it in drug form or however you take it, it alters the senses. It makes you act and think differently. It stimulates and then it depresses. And alcohol is nothing more than a grown-up person's nicotine and caffeine. You're volatile. You move. You're unstable. Unstable means one who is easily upset, changeable and unreliable, emotionally unsettled and not steady. Now, you and I both know there's nothing more changeable and unreliable than a drunken person. I'll be there at a certain time. Are you kidding me? There's no way. They don't even know what time it is, much less what time they're going to get there. Well, did they become unreliable because they got drunk? Or did they get drunk because they're unreliable? You got it. They're just trying to feed that no good thing in them. They're already unreliable. So what they do, they have an affinity and a desire and a craving for those things that feed that ability and that desire that they have to be unreliable. I was high. I know you were. But see, that justifies you being unreliable. You have a desire. You're a capricious individual. You don't stick to anything. Usually people like this are a little on the loner side. See, because if you have close friendships and close relationships, too much pressure. Because then you make two or three people late. And this way it's only you. Nobody to remind you and say, well, let's get going. There's nobody there. You like it. You're a lonely jackass. Remember what the definition was of an onager? An onager means a jackass. But it's called an onager because it's a very lonely creature. It likes to live alone. See, they're so mean, they can't even stand each other. I don't know why there's more than one, because if they're that mean and can't stand each other, maybe there's an onager stork. I don't know how it happens. But the onagers can't even stand each other. They don't hurt like normal animals. They kick each other to death. They're mean creatures. You never see them together. In fact, they've got some at the San Diego Zoo, or Wild Animal Park, rather. I remember one time we were riding that train, and they called them the onager, and I thought, they're mean-looking suckers. And you see them, one here and one there. You think they all have a deodorant problem or something. They won't come around each other. They hate each other. They're lonely creatures. Easily upset, changeable, unreliable, fickle, emotionally unsettled. They're also explosive. Volatile means explosive. Do you realize that your characteristics are the same characteristics as alcohol? Which is a poison? And you're mad because your wife doesn't want to drink. See, you're like a shot, man. And you're upset because she doesn't want to drink with you. She doesn't want to get drunk on your anger. You're explosive. Explosive means tending to burst forth noisily. Having the nature of an explosion. Remember, I've given you the analogy, go walk in any bar, 5 o'clock in the afternoon, and everybody's cool, man. They just got off work. It's happy hour, and they're there, and everybody's talking sensibly. Come back in 2 hours and everybody's screaming. They burst forth noisily, don't they? So you don't do these things because you drink. You drink because you do these things. So you can't stop drinking in order not to do those things. You got to stop doing those things in order to stop drinking. And you're going to find the same is true of drugs or any other of these stimulants, depressants that you take. See, your soul and your spirit are drunk first, then your body gets drunk, not the other way around. You have to get lazy and down, and all of those characteristics have to happen in the soul and spirit before your body wants to be drunk too. Well, then that means if your problem is food or whatever it is, it has to happen up here first. And then your body goes along and says, hey, don't leave us out. If it's party time, what about me? The last definition of alcohol is poisonous, a poisonous liquid. Poisonous means a substance that causes illness or death when eaten, drunk, or absorbed. Now, you know that stuff makes you sick. You know what happens the next morning. Well, you are poisoning yourself. Well, why are you poisoning? Why do you like poison? Because you're a serpent. See, serpents have sacks of it. Then they have these fangs, and boy, they want to give you some poison. Really, basically, what a serpent says is, come on over and have a drink. That's what they're saying. They want to give it to you the hard way, but it's still a drink. Now, what difference if the snake in the grass is in the grass and biting you on the foot, or if he's behind a bar serving up the venom and you're painful? What's the difference? You're just as poisoned. It's just as harmful. So you see, this individual who's given to that is volatile, unreliable, changeable, easily upset, emotionally unsettled, and he can't make a distinction between what's right and wrong. Now, if you didn't drink, you would act that way anyhow, and then you'd have no excuse. This way you can do it and palm it off on the alcohol. But we're growing up here. I've never met a drug addict yet that didn't, when he started out, start with beer. Some form of, didn't start, and from beer didn't come from coffee and cigarettes. And from there didn't come from candy. Never met a one. Not a one. But you don't think this preacher knows what he's talking about. Let me tell you the next step, the next phase of where you're going. The next one is drugs. An unreasonable fondness for drugs. Now, the word drug comes from the word dry. I didn't know that, but I do now. You're dry. That's why you drug. But the word drug means two things, a narcotic and a hallucinogen. Now, some would say, thank God. That's not me, man. I don't do no drugs. Well, you don't? Let me see your medicine cabinet. Oh, but those are prescribed. I don't care if they're prescribed or described or inscribed. They're drugs. I don't care how you got them. They're still drugs. Now, am I saying go home and throw your drugs away? No, I'm saying go home and find out why do you need those things. Because at that point, you do. I'm not the kind of preacher who's going to say, go throw all your medicine away and just have faith in God. And you know what's going to do? You're going to die. That's what's going to happen. Because that no good thing in you wants a no good thing. Get rid of the no good thing, and then we'll get rid of the drugs. But don't go home and do that, brother. You'll die, and I've grown accustomed to your face. I want you around here. Don't do that. Don't go home thinking it's a lack of faith if you don't throw away all your medicine. No, it was stupid to get that way. It's even stupid to do it that way. Let's do it the right way. Understand why you need that stuff. And don't you dare go home and judge or criticize another individual because they take medicine. At that point, that's the only way for them. I'm showing you a better way. The reason you drug is because you're dry.
having no moisture. How can you tell if someone has no moisture? I'll tell you how you can spot. Dry means clever and shrewd, but ironic or subtle. Dry means something that doesn't... Now understand this, the person that's given to drugs is clever and shrewd, but ironic or subtle. Now they think they're so smart, but I can spot you guys a mile away, whether you're men or women. It doesn't matter what drug you're into, I don't care if it's prescribed or otherwise, you must be dry to need drug. First you're clever. Clever means quick in thinking or learning, quick-witted and witty, showing quick but superficial intelligence. They don't want to get into anything too heavy and too deep. God, you're getting on that again. I mean, they just want to skip the light fan. Just let's kind of just lick it on top and let's get some juice out. Let's not be eating all this heavy-duty stuff. They don't like to get into the what's really wrong. They just kind of skip over it. Just give me a shot, man. I'll feel better. Give me a drug. Don't sit there and tell me what you got to do. Just give me a drug and I'll feel good and then do whatever you want. I don't want to know. Clever and shrewd, but ironic or subtle. Quick in learning, but they only want superficial intelligence. But they're also shrewd. Clever to shrewd. Now, I'm telling you what you have to change if you want to get off this drug syndrome. And whether the drug is something as you think as innocent as nicotine or you've graduated to the harder stuff, I'm telling you how you got in, brother. And I'm telling you what's inside of you that's craving that's outside of them, it's equivalent. You're clever, but you only want superficial intelligence. They ask stupid, superficial questions and try to get me off on tangents and try to get me to talk. They don't want to talk about what the real issue, just superficial. But they're shrewd. You know what shrewd means? Cunning in dealing with others. They know exactly what they're doing. And I know you know. You play dumb, but that's shrewd. Well, I didn't realize, God, I didn't mean that. Is that how you, well, how in the world? You liar. You're shrewd. And you know, you can always tell shrewd people, those that are cunning in dealing with others, because shrewd also means one other thing, to curse. See, the last bastion for the shrewd individual who's cunning with you, and you bust that individual and say, I don't agree with that, they'll get to cursing. Four letter, eight letter, 10 letter, it doesn't matter. But they'll curse. See, that's about the extent of the vocabulary beyond superficial. They'll curse. The individual that has to go to cursing and using foul language is one whose cunning in dealing with you has now failed. See, you've decided to take the relationship beyond hello, goodbye, and what would you like, and you want to deal with some gut issues. But you see, to deal with gut issues, then you can't be cunning because the truth is the truth. So what do? You curse. God, what kind of dimpity-bappity-boo Christian are you? And you start cursing and using foul language. That's shrewd. But I'm on to that. They're clever and shrewd, but they're ironic. Now understand what this individual, and if you see these characteristics in yourself, you now know what to do with them. If you see these characteristics in someone else, stay away from them. Beyond a superficial relationship, because that's the only thing they can handle. They're ironic. You know what ironic means? The clever, shrewd, but ironic individual. Ironic means saying, or rather meaning, the contrary of what you expressed. That's ironic. In other words, they'll say something and say, well, I didn't mean that. That's ironic. See, that's the dry individual. That's the individual who has to have a narcotic and a hallucinogen. Now, in a minute, I'm going to tell you what narcotic and hallucinogen mean, but I'm telling you now why you need it. you say something that's contrary to what you mean. That's ironic. And these are the individuals that they're very difficult to deal with because their cop-out always is, I didn't mean that. I don't care what you meant. I know what you said. And Jesus said, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. Now, either Jesus isn't telling the truth or you aren't. And it didn't take me very long to figure out, you're the liar. Don't give me that, I didn't mean it. But you see, these individuals are ironic. They'll cop out by saying, I didn't mean that, even though they said it, or they're subtle. Subtle means to weave a web, to be crafty and sly. It means not to be open or direct, delicately suggestive. I hate this characteristic most of all in a man. Would you like to go out with some guy if he would happen to ask you, would you be interested? Why don't you just say, I want to take you out. You want to go out with me? What's the matter with your pride and ego? Can't you handle rejection? I can tell you that. You ain't nothing to write home about. I already tell you that right now. What you got to do is keep asking until somebody's dumb enough to say yes. Subtle, delicately suggestive. I'll tell you, it's so exasperating to an individual who's seeking leadership, who's seeking direction, to deal with an individual who's delicately suggestive. You go to work and they say, well, yes, we probably should do that, but however you think we should do it, just go ahead. Delicately suggestive. They're very subtle people, and you say, oh, I can do it just about any way I want then. Go ahead, dummy. And about the time you finish, he'll come and say, why'd you do it that way? And then he'd give you a long list of ways that you should have done it. Why didn't you tell me that before I did it? Because he's dry. Because he's subtle. He says, the serpent of all the beasts of the field was the most subtle. Delicately suggestive. Yea. Hath God said? He knew good and well that God did. He was just delicately suggestive. Yea. Have I done something wrong to offend you? Damn right you have. I'll tell you how to get around these delicately suggestive people. Be open and upfront and direct and say, yes, you have. But as a matter of fact, you have. And then watch him back off. Delicately suggestive. Not obvious. And let me tell you why you are so subtle, all ye of drugdom. Because if you sat down and you said to your wife or to your children or to yourself or to anybody, this is the way I want it done, do it step one, two, three, and this is the end result that I expect, and they do it that way and it doesn't bring that end result, then you can't blame anybody but thyself. Amen. You're subtle and crafty and delicately suggestive because you won't give any direct direction, because then the results are your responsibility. So if you give these veiled web-type suggestive but not obvious, it could be taken all kinds of different ways, then the minute she or he does it and you don't like it, you can blame them for it. Say, I didn't say that. No, you didn't. You didn't say anything. Clever, shrewd, ironic, subtle. There's two more. Boring and tedious. Why do you think the romance is gone out of the marriage? Why do you think you get a new car, a new something, before you know it, you're bored with it? Why do you think that you get into a certain drug or whatever, and before you know it, it's not enough, you got to have more? Or you start doing a combination, say, well, let's do two of these and one of these. And I don't care if you're doing it out of your medicine cabinet or if you're doing it off the street corner. I don't care how you do it. Clever, shrewd, ironic, subtle, boring, and tedious. Boring means to cut with a sharp point. These people will just knife you to death. You see, they'll remember everything you've ever said, everything you've ever done, and when it comes time that they've done something wrong, how do they defend their wrong? With your wrong. They defend wrong with wrong. Yes, I did wrong, but you're worse. Remember that when you said that? Remember when you did that? You're worse than I am. See, they defend wrong, their wrong, with somebody else's wrong. You know what that means? Boring. It means to cut with the sharp point. Boring means to weary by being dull, uninteresting, and monotonous. Full of tedium. Tedious individual. Tedious, the same story. I'm sorry. I didn't mean it. And then they do it again. And then they're sorry again, and then they didn't mean it again. That's tedious. Now let me tell you why your relationship goes down the drain. Because tedious comes from the word tedium. And tedium means something that disgusts and offends. And now your relationship just went up in smoke. Why? Drugs. Being dry. You're clever, you're shrewd, you're ironic, you're subtle, but you're also boring and tedious. Can you see what the Lord had to give me to still want to talk to you after these years? You're clever, shrewd, ironic, subtle, boring as all get out, and tedious. Full of tedium. You're disgusting and you're offensive. And only the love of God, not me, would cause me to say, God, I wish he'd call. I wish that individual, let's get this thing, let's get on the road. And incidentally, it isn't because you've been here a long time. I can meet an individual for the first time. And I can see the disgusting, offensive, tedious, boring, clever, shrewd, ironic individual and fall in love with him and say, come on, brother, let's get this show on the road. First time, that's all it takes. But I'll tell you something, without the love of God, without the calling of God to do this, you marry someone like that and you won't stand them for 5 minutes. They're unstandable. Because they disgust and they offend. And let me tell you something. You know why you're on drugs? Because you're disgusting and offensive. To whom? To yourself. And then you get upset when other people say, ooh, God, don't give me that breath. That's disgusting and offensive. Well, you're disgusting and offensive to yourself because that's why you do that. If you would just change your opinion of you, if you would listen to this preacher and you would learn how much God loves you. Now, how do I know that he loves you so much? Look how disgusting, boring, and tedious you are. Offensive and disgusting. And he still sends a man and says, try again, pray for him. Do something, work with him, show him an example, help the individual, help her. God, he must love you. And the more boring and the more tedious and the more offensive and disgusting you are, the more he loves you. Some will say, well, I want God to love me a lot then. See, you take everything so subtle. You just take everything and you twist and bend your blacksmith from the day. You ought to just get yourself a hammer and tongs and just go ahead and bend it all. Fashion it however you want. It doesn't alter the fact that thou art tedious. Now, if you're so disgusting and offensive and tedious and boring, is it any wonder thou needest a narcotic and a hallucinogen? See, here's what you have to be first. Now the craving comes for a narcotic. You're thoroughly disgusted with yourself. You're thoroughly offended by you. So now you need a narcotic, something to give you some relief. Well, what does narcotic mean? Numbness. Yes, I know the little cliche phrase that's dancing through your head now, and let it dance. Narcotic, a drug used to relieve pain and induce sleep. See, the only way that you can stand yourself, the only way the pain is tolerable is if you're asleep. Now that's a horrible, is it any wonder when you wake up in the morning, you say, oh, I'm tired of you, the only time you're happy is when you're sleeping. That's the only time you can stand yourself. That's the only time you don't have an awareness of how disgusting you are, how offensive you are. And instead of taking the cleansing blood of Jesus Christ, instead of taking the truth and washing and cleaning yourself and changing your opinion of yourself, you'd rather sleep and let it go on. That's why you need a narcotic. Narcotic also means anything that has a soothing, lulling, dulling effect. That's why you like preachers that say, God loves you, child, anyway, and he understands you. And when we get to heaven, we'll understand why you were the way you were, my son. And God must have loved drunks and drug addicts. Look how many he made. What? You like that lulling, soothing, dulling effect. You want your preacher to be a narcotic. Because your mother was a narcotic. Don't worry about it, sweetheart. No. And then when your child does that to you, go, I know. What? Speak up. You hate it when your child does. Right. Where'd that child learn that? From Taoist. Amen. You have a narcotic. You know why you have a narcotic and why you need a narcotic? Because you're into narcosis. Narcosis means a condition of deep stupor, which passes into unconsciousness and paralysis. Unconscious, I don't know, brother, and I can't. You are now unconscious and paralyzed. Thou art into narcosis. And that's why you want a preacher or a wife or a husband or friends that are narcotics. Soothing, lulling, dulling, we love you anyway. No, we don't. You're disgusting and you're offensive. You're lovable if we could get all the garbage off of you. But the way you are, you're disgusting. Well, how can you say that about me, brother? I mean, you're supposed to love me. Yes, I'm supposed to, but so are you. And who's the one that's putting that junk in you? You. It's not me doing it. I'm trying to take it out. Now, if you think about it, who doesn't love you? The one that's trying to get you to get rid of it or the one that's putting in it? It seems to me like the one that's putting it in is the one that hates you. And who's putting it in? You are. Now don't tell me I hate you. You hate you. Why? I can understand why you're disgusting and offensive. So you slip into unconsciousness and paralysis. And that's when the individual says, well, I don't understand why this is this way, but God in his infinite wisdom knows. So I'll just suffer in peace and quiet, and I'll just wait until the Lord does something. You're as paralyzed as a person on the street corner who admits they're a drug addict. Just because you're somebody's grandma doesn't mean you can't be a drug addict. You're still unconscious and suffering from paralysis. Get up and walk. Man, wake up. Arise means wake up. And walk means don't be paralyzed. What did Jesus say? You got a narcosis problem here. Deep stupor, which is where we get the word stupid. Stupor means a state in which the mind and senses are dulled. It means mental or moral dullness. Now, there's nothing duller than being around a person who's on drugs. Hi, baby. You can't even understand them. And what do they do for an encore? They throw up. That's dull, man. That's boring. Because they're stupid. You see, the reason they have stupor and narcosis and narcotic is because they're stupid. Now, stop being stupid. Well, what does stupid mean? Stupid means lacking normal intelligence or understanding. Now, it doesn't mean a lack of ability to comprehend. It just means you don't have normal intelligence. You don't have normal understanding. Why? Because you won't listen to the only one who can teach you normal understanding and intelligence, the Lord Jesus Christ. That's why the scripture says, my people perish. My people perish. God speaking, my people perish for a lack of what? Knowledge. Not my people perish because they're bad. My people perish because they sin. My people perish because they don't go to church. My people perish because they don't tithe. My people perish because they cuss each other out. My people perish because they're mean little devils, little suckers. No. My people perish because they're stupid. They don't know. They don't even know that they don't know. So they need to have someone that knows they don't know. Remember that one we went through this morning? See, stupid doesn't mean that there's some mental disorder that you don't have the ability to comprehend. What it means is you have nothing in there to comprehend. See, that's like buying a brand new computer. And it doesn't have no programming, nothing in it. You paid $85 zillion for it, see? And you set it in your living room and say, all right, tell me something. Figure, compute something. It's not going to turn. You press on, screen comes on, nothing. Blank. Then you look for a button and say, no, do something button here. Tell me something. Nothing. The thing is stupid. You know what's wrong? No programming. Not only not wrong, this thing has no programming. So this computer is absolutely worthless. It has nothing in it. The capability is there. Man, you pop a program in there and that sucker will figure and compute and give you answers and flash it out for you and print it out however you want it. But not until you put a program in there. So until you put some normal intelligence, a computable program, something that makes sense, that computer is stupid. And yet, the machinery, the intricacy, the delicacy of all that's there, the capability that's there is nonetheless impaired. It still can do it. It's lacking some intelligence. In computerese, we would say it lacks programming. Now, in your case, you have wrong programming, but that doesn't alter the fact that you don't have right programming. So what's the problem with the stupid person, the one who wants narcotics, the one who's in narcosis? He doesn't know the difference between right and wrong. Why doesn't he? Been eaten off the wrong tree, remember from this morning? You lack normal intelligence and you lack understanding. Now here's the problem with this individual. You think drugs is such a good thing? It's going to cause two things at the end. Unconsciousness and paralysis. Unconscious means to be mindless and not aware. I don't understand why this is happening, Brother Reuben. You're not aware. Unconscious means not done or said on purpose. I didn't mean that. God, did you take it that way? You're unconscious when you say it. Do you understand what you're doing when you cop out that way? You're unconscious. Unconscious also means, and get this is something I've been telling you for a long time, unconscious means the sum of all thoughts, memories, impulses, desires, feelings of which the individual is not conscious, but which influences his emotions and his behavior. In other words, when you say, I don't know why I did that, you're unconscious. Something's influencing your behavior and your emotions, and you're not even aware of it. That individual is unconscious. What a candidate for drugs. You refuse to deal that there's a reason why you act that way. You'd rather say, I don't know. Well, it lends to paralysis or leads to paralysis. And paralysis means a condition of helpless inactivity or of inability to act. I can't help it, and I just can't do it. You know what happens to an individual like that? They finally get to that point. There's only one way they can maintain some semblance of sanity. They need the other part of the narcotic, a hallucinogen. And hallucinogen means a drug that produces hallucination. And hallucination means the apparent perception of sights and sounds that are not actually present. Well, she said that, and I said, well, what did she say? Well, that's what she meant. Oh, you're hallucinating. You heard something that wasn't said. You saw something that wasn't there. Well, I know he must feel that way because oh, he said that much, huh? God, you must be amazing. You get all that out of me. Now, you know what's happening? You are making up things out of sights and sounds that are not actually present. That's what it means to hallucinate. That's why you love your drugs so much, whatever they are. And hallucinate. Why would they want a drug in the first place? Well, they like to hallucinate. I'll leave you with this. I wish we had time to go through the rest of it. It'll knock whatever socks you have left, it'll knock them off. And I don't care if you're wearing pantyhose or nylons or knee highs or argyles or what, they'll be off. Hallucinate. This is why you love hallucinogens. And I see people hallucinate in this church all the time. Listen to this, and then I'm through for the night. Hallucinate. To wander mentally. God, I wish I was under my feet here. I wonder what time he's going to die. I got to get home. You're wandering mentally. You're hallucinating. You're on drugs and don't even know it. Cheap. Cheap, cheap. Did you know that hallucinate means just to wander mentally? And the individual that wanders mentally, and I'm done with this, hallucinate has 1, 2, 3, 4 definitions. Number one, wander mentally. What time's he going to get done? You're wandering. Then the next thing means to rave. I don't understand. You're raving. And then we come to the next thing, to be confused. I wonder what he's talking. Wonder what he means. When I go to Disneyland, somebody remind me of them bears over there. What's that name, that stupid bear that in those animated things? Brer Bear, is it? Dumb Bear? Some dumb thing that doesn't even know how to talk. Confused. Well, I don't know, brother. Hallucinate and understand. You wander mentally, you rave, and then you're confused. Now that you've wandered mentally, you're raving, you're totally confused, here's the last part of the definition of hallucinate, to prophesy. See, now at this point you tell me, oh no, brother, I know this is, are you kidding me? You're prophesying, you've wandered mentally, you're raving, you're confused, and now you're going to prophesy? I can tell you a lot of churches where that's exactly what they do. The preacher is preaching on a specific subject, and they're off with their tambourines. They've wandered mentally. Then they start raving, bobbity-boo, bibbity-bob, yamba-dabba-dabba-doo, michikabula, bibbity-bobbity. They're raving. And then they're confusing you. You're in those churches, and the preacher's saying one thing, and this lady's hollering something else, and this guy's hollering. You look around, everybody's confused, and somebody starts prophesying. I say, out of all that, God speaks? And I love their prophecies. God told me to tell you to go to Ethiopia. God told me to tell you to sell your house and give us all the money. And I say, didn't God ever tell you to do anything? No. God always tells them to tell somebody else. I'll tell you, the man of God who prophesies, he'll say, God sent me to show you what he wants done. God didn't call me to come and tell you, you should do this. You should be happy. You should have money. You should have health. You should have peace of mind. You should do. No, he said, look, God called me to come and show you. I got peace of mind. Got a nice watch. Amen. Money in my pocket. all the material goods that I need. Not all that I want, thank God. Just the ones that I need. Good health. I sleep like a log. I mean, when I go to sleep, I sleep. Ain't no getting up and wondering and wanting. Listen, I say to my body, look, if you got anything to do in that water room, you better do it now. Because when I sleep, I do not want interruptions. Yes, sir.
Definitely.
Ain't no getting up in the middle of the night to do that foolishness. Get it done now. I'm going to sleep. Why should my bladder and my kidneys tell me when I can sleep? They're mine. I will tell them, thank you. Say, look, if you have any business in mind, tell me now, or shut your mouth until tomorrow morning. This child of God's going to go get some sleep. It's Z time. And I sleep. I don't get up in the middle of the night for nothing or nobody. See, when your system is clean, then you can do all these things. See, well, Brother Reuben, are you saying your system's clean? Yes. Now, does that mean it's clean because nothing dirty comes in? No. It means it's clean because as it comes in, I say, see the front door? See that over there? That's the back door. Get out. I ain't feeding you. You're not welcome. Well, gee, you're not very hospitable. You got that right. Well, you're not a very good host. You got that right again. Now, listen to this, what a doctor will tell you. When a virus comes into your body, when a sickness comes in, you know what it needs to make you sick? A host. In other words, it needs someone that says, oh, glad to see you. Come in. Sit down. Take your shoes off. Stay a while. You need to be a host for what's wrong. Do you understand? Drug? Oh, yes. This stuff's going to kill me? Well, come on in. You're running a sale on it. Well, yes. It only costs all the money that I have, and my family, and my wife, my health, all my money, my credit rating, my happiness, my sanity. God, you're running a good sale on this. Come on in. Please, welcome. Look, all you have to do is be rude to that stuff. What the hell are you doing here? Nobody invited you, crud. Get out of my house. You and the onager you came in on. And let me tell you something. If Jesus Christ doesn't fulfill his word, I'm going to get me a sensible job. You know what the problem is? Why it won't leave? Because you won't let go. You won't open that grubby little fist of yours and just do this. Open it up and let it go. If it comes back, it was yours. If it doesn't, it was never yours to begin with. I wish I could remember how that goes.
Hunt it down and shoot it.
Yeah, that's what you do. If it doesn't come back, you go out hunting for it. On the street corners, everywhere, you go looking for it. If you let it go, it's gone. Never to return again. Well, the Lord, people tell me, I'm not going to open this up, I promise you. They say, well, you can't deny that those things come. I didn't say I did deny it. Well, what scripture do you use then, Mr. Smart Guy? You admit these things come into our lives. Sure. It came to pass. In and out. Hello. Goodbye. Don't let the door hit you on the way out. It's true it comes, but it comes to pass. And you let it stay a while. You're a dumb host. If you'd stop being so nice to what's wrong and rude to God and start being rude to what's wrong and nice and acceptable and amenable to God and the truth, your problems would start just like that. They'd be over. But if not, you sit at that pool as long as you want to, my friend. When I come around this way again, which will be Wednesday, Lord willing, I want to ask you the same question. Wilt thou be made whole? You want to stop? Oh, yes. Then stop. Is that it?
Yep.
That's it. Brother Bob, would you close the services?